This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network. Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Tyler Gunther, Kelly Appleby, and Tim Keller to bring us all in the huddle. This is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. Let's get to it with Tyler, Kelly, and Tim.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. I am your host, Doug Eddy. I am here with my co-host, Tyler. Kelly is taking the week off because he was scared of Game of Thrones because he wasn't a fan. So he's got exactly 1 week from tonight to watch all of the seasons.
That's a huge feat for somebody. I mean, you could maybe get through two episodes in a week, but yeah.
Well, he paid the iron price by not being on this episode.
and a lot of puns.
Yes, and we have a special guest with us tonight. We have John Paul Hurley of the Dynasty Trade Calculator here with us. Yay! So how are you boys doing? It's a beautiful Sunday night. It's a week before Game of Thrones, so we're gonna give you some cool Game of Thrones, some coverage and games and stuff that we like. So what do you guys think? What are you guys up to tonight? Anything good other than recording this awesome podcast?
Well, we recorded the DTC podcast, and it was awesome. A lot of back and forth. I finally got to meet kind of in person the Nick Whalen, and I mean, John's come on before in the live draft pod, so I mean, he's all right still. And Izzy, I got to see his ceiling a lot, so yeah, it was a great pod. It was fun. You guys should check it out. Of course, you probably already do if you listen to us, but God, that was a fun recording.
There was a ton of back and forth. We had a lot of fun, though. We had a quick Game of Thrones thing at the beginning as an icebreaker between just Tyler and I, because both Nick and Izzy are not fans whatsoever. Kind of like Kelly.
Yeah, it was a bummer.
Hey, you know what? I'm super excited about this. You know what I'm super excited about? You know what starts tomorrow, right? The Scott Fishbowl.
Scott Fishbowl 7.
Wait.
Tomorrow.
Starts tomorrow? I look on Twitter and nobody tells me this.
It's all over Twitter.
That's sarcasm, Doug.
He was. I think he was dripping in sarcasm just then. Go find a towel, Tyler.
No towel will clean this sarcasm.
Yeah, so if we have some time at the end, we'll talk a little bit about Scott Fishbowl. What pick do you guys have? I have the number 4 pick in my division.
103.
Nice.
I have 11, and I love it. I love that spot. I know Tim Keller, he was talking to me, literally just said, God, I hate my Scott Fishbowl pick of 104. I hate it so much.
I'm not really feeling it, but yeah, I'll make a pick tomorrow eventually.
So it'll be fun.
Yeah, so we'll chat a little bit about Scott Fishbowl as time allows. But Tyler, why don't you roll in and tell us about who's sponsoring us this week?
Well, everybody knows our main sponsor, Sit or Start app. It's an app that gives you everything, gives you player updates, it gives you, you know, Roto World news, rankings, podcasts, you know, the gurus, the Trophy Time pod, of course, you know, Doug's on that as well. Us.
Yes, sir.
And there's one other pod, the name escapes me right now, I'm sorry. But it helps you start the right people, you know, during the season. If you want to, in a flex spot, start CJ Anderson, or you want to start, you know, Willie Snead, it'll kind of let you know, based on your scoring, what will work better and what is a better chance of hitting. It's a great app to try out during the season. And it also is bringing in some, you know, DFS plays to help you win that $1 million maker. Get the app, use the promo code DHH when you do. It's fantastic. You won't regret it. Next, we have Draft or playdraft.com. And it's almost exactly like MFL 10s. Sal from the Falafel House, great guys over there. Check out their podcast. They're part of the network. Sal and I, we're going to set up a thing where if you sign up for PlayDraft with either of our codes, I mean, we have DHH, or you go to playdraft.com/DHH. If you go there, let Sal and I know, and we're going to actually set up leagues. And if you snap a shot on Twitter to us, we will invite you to leagues we are in. You know, they're best ball. You draft and forget. And then if you win, hey, you got money in your account. You won't even remember. You'll probably be like, oh my God, I won 10, you know, I won $100 on PlayDraft and I totally forgot about it. But the thing is with playdraft.com/DHH, if you use that sign up, you will actually get a free $10 best ball league. And that is where the value comes in. You put in $10, boom, you've already got a $10 league for free. It pays for itself. It's great. And we have a special announcement to announce the, you know, Fantasy Footballers Ultimate Draft Kit. So why don't we give it to, you know, Game of Thrones theme. Why don't we let Jon Snow tell everybody about the Ultimate Draft Kit?
I've seen many terrible things during my watch, but none more horrifying than a wasted second round draft pick. That's why I always use my Fantasy Footballers Ultimate Draft Kit to guide me through the cold. Though my friends and family league keeps getting smaller and smaller, my fantasy team's just getting stronger and stronger. Join me at www.ultimatedraftkit.com and prepare yourself to fight the good fight. Winter is coming, but so is my hashtag FootClan title. I guess I do know something after all.
I mean, if you didn't hear it there, some other things you can get are, you know, Matt Harmon's reception perceptions. It's a great thing. It's grilled cheese. Yes, second week in a row, I'm using food reference. It's grilled cheese oozing with content. Premium ranks, expert list of sleepers and breakouts, values, Andy, Mike, and Jason's 2017 stat projections, reports like rookies, coaching changes, bye weeks, exclusive podcasts, rookie ranks for all the dynasty minds. The full, you know, full list of Matt Harmon's reception perception is amazing. That, you know, he's got hundreds of them on there. And my favorite is the video profiles of each player. I mean, you don't have to read anything. You just watch videos. You watch Mike, Jason, Andy talk about it. And, you know, you don't have to read anything for people that can't read like me. So, I mean, it's great. And if you use code DHH, you will receive 10% off. It's always updating. It's unlike magazines you bought in June, which are already outdated. So once again, go to ultimatedraftkit.com and use code DHH for 10% and go get yours today.
Awesome. Thank you, Tyler. So now John Paul Hurley, Tyler, and myself are going to jump on a massive dragon, and we are going to fly over the ocean to King's Landing and invade it and give you some our Game of Thrones game, which is, I don't know, I guess that's what you can call it. So we're going to kick it off first, and I want John Paul Hurley to give me his answer first off. But we are going to cover, it's called King Tommen. So if you remember, if you watched Game of Thrones, the season finale last
spoiler
year.
Can we put a spoiler disclaimer?
spoiler for everything.
Episode. I would hate to spoil this.
No spoilers.
Kelly, don't listen. Right. Well, listen, but don't listen.
All right, so if you, all right, here's the deal. So if you haven't watched Game of Thrones, please exit now.
Well, don't. Just kind of expect to get things spoiled little bit.
Yes, so King Tommen took a valiant leap at the end of the last season, the last of the Lannister children. So what I want to know is, who is your jump out the window player, which means just you want to get them off of your roster. So John Paul Hurley, who do you want to get off your dynasty roster at all costs?
I'm going to go with Mr. DeMarco Murray. And the reason why is because winter is coming, and winter's name is Derrick Henry. Also, DeMarco Murray turns 30 next offseason. He's not that old, but it is old relative to the amount of workload that he's gotten the last few seasons. And with the running back in the 2017 rookie draft that we saw this year and what's coming in 2018, I think he's going to be hard-pressed to find a job next season when Derrick Henry takes over.
I like it. Tyler, what do you got?
Now, I'm just winging all these, so I'm just going to tell you guys
prep, Tyler.
It's going to be great, and I'm going to have to say Rob Kelly. As much as, Doug, you're a big fan of him, I just think
I'm Team Samaje, buddy.
You've talked to him, so that makes you a fan. You've talked to the guy.
I've physically met him and got his autograph and talked trash to him.
That makes you a little bit of a fanboy with Rob Kelly. A little bit.
You got King Tommen's autograph?
Yeah, as he was falling.
Yeah, all that extra time.
Rob Kelly's a guy that doesn't have any draft stock, and those players worry me. I mean, even Alfred Morris had a 6-round pedigree, which is more than Rob Kelly. And in that offense, it seems like any running back can kind of come in and do things. I still like Keith Marshall. I don't have him anywhere, but I think he's a good talent. There's a lot of talented players around Rob Kelly, and Rob Kelly has to do a lot to kind of stick. So he's kind of a player I've tried to push away out of my team.
Yeah, that's fair. I think Rob Kelly is just a guy, and I think P. Ryan is going to be the next big thing, hopefully. Fingers crossed. My player for get them off of your roster, kind of an obvious one, but you wouldn't believe how highly owned this player still is, despite not playing in the league forever, and that's Josh Gordon. So I'm in a bunch of different dynasty leagues, and he's owned in every league that I'm in still. So to me, he's just a roster clogger. Get him off your roster. If you can find a sucker in your league that still believes that Josh Gordon is actually going to play NFL football, then maybe get a draft pick, a fourth round rookie pick next year for him, or just get anything for him at that point. I'm in a salary cap league, and one guy is still holding on to him at like $2.5 million. And I'm like, what are you doing? Just cut him. Cut your losses. Get him out of there. So for me, it's Josh Gordon. He doesn't need to be rostered. Let's be honest, folks. There's no hope, I don't think, in the near future for Josh Gordon. So adios, right out the window with Josh Gordon. Bye-bye. So our next one is our Hodor is a player that you're holding the door for. So I'll kick this one off. And mine is Devontae Parker. So I had an opportunity to trade Devontae Parker in the offseason. And my gut just told me that the breakout is coming, much like winter. And I could not let Devontae Parker go for a mid-round, first-round pick this year. I decided to hold on to him, and I just can't let go. Tyler, who is your hold the door? Who's a player you just cannot let go of?
Hold on. Let's be honest. Dante Moncrief. He is my hold the door player, and he is a guy that may end up on this list a couple more times. I'm not sure if I want to choose him.
A couple more? Oh, man.
But yeah, I mean, Dante Moncrief, he had the touchdowns. I mean, he saved you a lot with those touchdowns. But he lost some weight, which a lot of people are worried about that. But he kind of went down to his quote-unquote combine weight when he was drafted. He was very explosive his rookie year. He had an amazing yards after the catch. I don't know it offhand. But, I mean, he was used as a deep ball specialist. And I know towards the end of the year, his rookie year, he had, you know, very gaudy numbers, like 4 for 100 some, 2 touchdowns. But this is a guy, if he can get healthy and stay healthy and show that explosiveness, he showed that Ole Miss, I think this is a guy people are just going to give up way too early.
So I have a question for you, Tyler. Do you have any concerns over Andrew Luck's shoulder?
His what?
His shoulder. He's still not throwing a football.
Yeah, not really. The thing that really upsets me about it, if I was Andrew Luck's mother, is the fact that he waited so long to fix it. It's like, come on, man. That's your shoulder. That is your moneymaker. That is your golden arm.
He's got another one.
His face.
Yeah. The luck of beard or whatever it is.
the luck beard. It's a neck beard. It's not a beautiful thing at all.
No, it is not. It is horrible. Get a mustache.
All right. All right, John. Who do you have? Who's your Hodor?
I'm willing to Hodor for Laquon Treadwell one more season, just because his ADP is ridiculous. It's 113 right now. He's cheaper than a Dornish Crackhorn currently. And I said this on our most recent podcast too, that Tyler was just on. I saw trades on DLF Trade Finder of John Brown for Laquon Treadwell, Terrence West for Laquon Treadwell. I'm seeing some ridiculous trades, so I'm jumping all over that. I'm holding the door open for the guy at that value. And I'm going to repeat Hodor until the guy gets a breakout game.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Isn't that breakout game like 2 catches or 3? That's got to be a breakout game.
Hey, yeah. he's going to triple his production in one game.
Literally. Literally.
It's going to be amazing. So we're going to move on to our next one, which is the Arya Stock. Yes, it is the player that has no name, but will make it known this year. So Tyler, who is your player that has no name that is going to break out and is going to be known?
Well, another player we talked about on the Dynasty Trade Calculator, and I think it's Eric Swope. I have picked him up in a couple leagues. He was an extra for trades last season, end of last season. He's one of those basketball converts, you know, that got picked up. He went to Miami, so, you know, another University of Miami type player.
The lineage of tight ends in Miami.
Yeah, the injuries and the 1 year production, and then, you know, the crying in the corner because you believe in him, that type of lineage. Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
But I'm thinking like Jimmy Graham, Greg Olson, you know,
the good ones, not Kellen Winslow Jr. And
yeah,
there's gotta be good ones. Yeah.
David Njoku.
he's a stud. But yeah, I think Erik Swope is going to be a guy where he'll come in. And John, I think you said it on the trade calculator, is they're going to kind of be that 1A, 1B type thing. You know, you said Andrew Luck has never had one specific tight end he likes. And I could see that. I could see Swope getting, you know, 500 yards, six touchdowns, 6-7. And, you know, Jack Doyle, him getting his almost the same type thing. And if you combine them, they'd be a high-end tight end one. But I could see that happening. He could be a guy you could start, and he's going to make a name for himself. He'll be, you know, I could see a ceiling as a high-end tight end too, with how bad tight ends are. So I could see that happening.
Gotcha. John, who's on your Arya Stark hit list?
My Arya Stark, I'm going to stick with the Indianapolis Colts and go Marlon Mack. It's well documented. I like this guy. I think he's going to stand out. People are getting him in the fourth round of rookie draft still, which is surprising.
Really?
But yeah, currently, apparently he has no name if he's being drafted in the fourth round. But Frank Gore is older than Maester Aemon Targaryen, so I think he's going to pass away pretty soon. Marlon Mack is just waiting in the wings. He's going to take over and dominate. He's probably not that great of a talent, but the opportunity just outweighs it. And I think he's going to have zero competition behind him. So I love that spot for my Arya Stark, the player that has no name.
Very nice. So my player is no waif. He is actually quite a hefty man and also a converted basketball player. And that is tight end Rico Gathers, I believe, is going to be the man that has no name that is going to come out and get himself known this year. I know Jason Witten signed an extension this year, which was more of a cap related thing. You know, the wheels got to fall off Jason Witten at some point. I think Rico Gathers, just an athletic freak, former basketball player, big old target. You know, he's going to be part of that young Dallas offense that is going to take over the NFL here. You got Zeke Elliott, Dak Prescott. You've got young players like Ryan Switzer, Noah Brown. Shout out to Riley. What's up? And you got Rico Gathers at the tight end position. And I'm really looking forward to what this kid can do on the football field. And I think that, you know, Jason Witten is your first down guy, but Rico, my man, is an end zone threat, red zone threat. And he's going to be awesome this year.
I want to give you another little, you know, a small one. Jordan Payton for the Cleveland Browns or Rashad Higgins?
I like Higgins.
One of those two guys, they're going to do something this year. And I like Payton personally. I've liked him out of UCLA. I think he's a Willie Snead type clone. But one of those two guys, they are going to come out and do something, because who else do they have? Coleman can't stay healthy. And, I mean, they drafted 30 of them, so one of them has to come out and do something, right?
I like Higgins. If he can win that slot job, I think he's got some nice breakout potential this year. We talked him up one of the times I was on about a month ago. Higgins was one of my guys I talked about. So I'm down with that. That's for sure. All right. So let's move on to the Ramsey Bolton, which is the player that you despise and hopes gets fed to the dogs because you hate him so much. Probably the most hated character of all time in Game of Thrones. Would you guys agree?
Second for me.
Joffrey.
Yep. Joffrey.
Mm-hmm. See, I think Ramsey, I mean, yeah, come on. I mean, Ramsey, like, you know, he cut things off of people and he was
He was more hated because he was just cruel. Joffrey was just a snot.
Yeah, he was young and stupid.
Yeah.
Yes, he didn't know any better. At least Ramsey was cold, calculating, and brutal.
Yeah.
That's what made me hate him. I'll start with mine. My Ramsey Bolton is a player that I despise this year and going forward is actually Ben Roethlisberger. I had Ben Roethlisberger in a couple leagues last year, and those home and road splits drove me absolutely insane. So that has led me to despise Roethlisberger despite all of the weapons that are currently around him. And I think the retirement talk is definitely a real thing. I don't think it's him looking for attention. You know, his body's pretty beat up. And I think that, you know, potentially this could be his last year. So in Dynasty, you might get one more decent year out of Ben Roethlisberger, but I despise having him on my roster. And I actually own him in the Ultimate Dynasty Podcasters League. So,
oh boy.
Yeah. Buy low.
Doug, I'm with you, man. Last year, this is way too deep for any one person to do like start sit evaluation. You guys talked about your sit or start app. This was some like gold nuggets for these guys, I'm sure. But last year, it was like the first round of the regular, first round of the fantasy playoffs. And Ben Roethlisberger was on the road facing Baltimore, and I had to choose between Roethlisberger or Stafford. And I went back to look at his splits, just like you said, on the road. I even looked at like temperatures, because I think it was going to be 35 degrees that day. Yep. So like in cold temperatures on the road, at like that late in the season, Ben Roethlisberger was averaging like 135-1. So I'm like, I am sitting. And he did basically exactly that week. So I was like, oh, I win. Yeah. Stafford did better, and it was wonderful.
Yeah, and it was against that Ravens secondary. It was terrible last year. So that was, yeah, I'm not making that mistake again with Roethlisberger. Ugh, despise him, absolutely. So, Tyler, tell me who's your Ramsey Bolton.
Kelvin Benjamin.
Oh, no!
Hub of goo can stay off my team. I will take him where he's at. I don't want him. I traded him for 103 when he was on his hot streak. I literally traded for my first round, 17 first round back. My team wasn't going anywhere, and I kind of realized it. I'm like, you know what? Give me my 17 back. This guy's like, oh, I need a receiver. Went for Kelvin Benjamin. I will take – okay, I trade the 103 for Gurley. So I will take Gurley for Kelvin Benjamin every and any day. So I won't have Kelvin Benjamin on the team. I don't think he's good. I don't think he has athleticism or speed. I just don't see it with him. I'm sorry. I think that offense is changing. I think he's going to kind of get left behind a little bit in the kind of, you know.
He's going to get schemed out.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never seen it. I never liked him. No, thank you.
I'm actually buying Kelvin Benjamin at his price right now.
Yeah. Samesies.
Samesies. Sorry, Tyler.
I won't touch him. You can have him. Maybe he'll take you to some restaurant. I don't know. Some chubby restaurant.
That'd be that nice restaurant nickname is, hey, let's go to Chubby's for dinner.
There probably is. I would not be shocked. I mean,
So I'm going to tell a quick story. We go to vacation on Cape Cod every year, and there used to be a restaurant called Gutsy Benders that has since been bulldozed, and there was a bank there now. But it was one of the landmarks of, like, we knew we were getting close to vacation because we saw Gutsy Benders, and it had like a big chef with a huge gut. Yeah. Sorry.
Wow. Let's go eat there.
Yeah, you can eat at the bank and relive the past memories, but that's about it. So, John Paul Hurley, who is your Ramsey Bolton player that you absolutely despise?
I have to be strategic when I name these players. So on podcasts, I get in a little bit of trouble. Obviously, all three of us are in a Dynasty podcast league, and everything that we say and do on Twitter, on podcast rankings, kind of gets thrown back in our faces, and we have to, you know, atone to the crime.
Shame.
Exactly. I'm glad you got that. We're going to get super nerdy in this podcast, by the way. But
you're not going to walk naked, are you?
Exactly. I already am. I am currently naked.
Nice. Okay.
Somebody's got to ring the bell for me. Yep. So now that I've removed my last share of this player, I can safely say this, that he's my Ramsey Bolton player, and it's Dez Bryant. I hate to admit it because I like the I like the player. He's been very talented throughout his career, but my hate is more to do with Dak Prescott. So I should probably almost say it's two part. So my Ramsey Bolton player is Dez Bryant and Dak Prescott because of Dak. Dak is more conservative than the High Sparrow himself. Dez's production will flounder in 2017. He'll come back down to planet Earth with his value. And people will realize that the dinks and dunks that Dak does, even though his deep ball is rather precise, there's a full year of tape on Dak. I'm really concerned about his fantasy production. I think he was like the QB7 last year, and I don't see that happening again. And I think that Dez will take the biggest hit from a fantasy value standpoint. So I hate Dez relative to what his current value is and what it will be in 2018.
Interesting. I'm actually pretty high on Dez this year. I think that the second half of 2016 is an indicator of what 2017 could be. That's my take on.
I wish on I Dez. Had him in our league then all of a sudden.
I do have him in our league, so go me. Yeah.
You would have made perfect trading partners if that was if that worked out.
That is very true. So, all right. So we are going to move on to one of my favorite characters in all of the Game of Thrones series, and that is the Hound, the brother of the Mountain, Rhaegar Clegane. And this is a guy, or actually a player, that just won't die. So they're fantasy relevant forever, and they just won't die. And mine is pretty awesome. But I will let Tyler go first.
Jason Witten, going back to your Rico Gathers.
Hey, wow.
Jason Witten, I think, has another like 3 years in him. And honestly, I think he's going to play 3 years.
No. I don't know
if it's the water in Texas, or I have no idea. But I think Jason Witten could be a low-end tight end one for like 3 more years. And that's just my guess. And, you know, he could get stabbed in the stomach by Arya, go down Left 4 Dead and just randomly pop out of nowhere in an episode.
The Brienne of Tarth is going to take Jason Witten down, but then he's going to bounce back. I don't like it.
How did he survive that?
He survived like five things.
Because he's the Hound. He's amazing.
Yeah, he's pretty amazing.
Yeah, haven't you ever seen like an old shagged hound? That's pretty much what he was.
You know what's going to be like the ultimate nerd orgasm on the next two seasons of Game of Thrones? If the Hound and the Mountain actually fight.
Yeah, that has to happen.
That has to happen, right?
Here's for my face.
And my money's on the Hound, even though it's like zombie Frankenstein Mountain.
Okay,
By the way, that fight is called the Clegane Bowl. Everybody's been coining that on.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Can I be honest with you? The most disturbing thing I probably might have ever seen is when the Mountain crushed the Viper's skull.
Yeah, that was pretty.
It was the sound. The sound did it for me.
And like the scream in the background and like his wife, Sarah. Mistress like looking at him. Mm-hmm.
It sounded like a Gallagher concert.
It was okay, the thing
that's
was
what it looked like.
You got so hyped up you're like, yes, oh my god, he's gonna take down the Mountain, this is awesome. And then he trips and you're like, wait, what's going on? You're just like, your heart sinks, and all of a sudden just you're just
Did you guys ever see the movie American History X? Doug, I know you have. You're kind of in my genre.
With the curb.
Where they put your teeth on the curb and then they stomp the back of your head. The sound, I'm pretty sure, for that scene with the Viper was ripped right out of that movie and basically placed right in line with Game of Thrones episode. It was the most like blood curdling sound I could ever imagine.
It was bad. It was bad. Hey, that's what happens when you want to mail it in and keep talking and flaunt yourself. You got to make sure he's dead, right?
Eh. Yep. You killed, you raped my sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You and killed her children.
And then he tripped you. And you're done.
Whoopsie. Oh, boy. Yeah. All right, John Paul Hurley, who is your Hound, the player that will not die?
I think there's a few of them. I'm going to leave some for you, though, because you haven't gone yet. But I think I got a key off on Frank Gore.
Oh, it's my guy. Cockroach.
I'll switch my guy then. I'm going to go Antonio Gates.
That was my other guy.
Coincidentally, Antonio Gates has the same scars on his face that the Hound does. And I think that he's 47
Seal?
This year. Yeah, he's actually Seal. He was kissed by the rose. Kissed from a rose. Yep. In the face. He was kissed from the ugly stick in the face.
Oh man.
His brother jammed his face in the fire because he was playing with his toy. Antonio Gates, like, you gotta retire, man. You are 30, was it 37? Am I wrong? 37,
yep. You're right.
That is unbelievable. So that, like, this is a guy just won't die. He needs to die in the next episode.
The worst part about him is he is just killing Hunter Henry's real value. Like, if Gates wasn't there, Hunter Henry would be a top five tight end. Would we all agree?
Yeah, Antonio Gates might be some people's Ramsey Bolton because of that reason.
Yeah, he's really holding back Hunter Henry. And until Gates kind of gives up after he gets that record, Hunter Henry's going to be kind of locked in the, put in the shadows, locked in the cages. The dog cages until that happens. So,
yeah. So, spoiler alert: you already heard mine. It's Frank Gore. He is the fantasy car. He will not die. He gets 200 something carries. He's Max there. They've got Robert Turbin, but Frank Gore is going to score the most points out of that backfield this year again because he just turned 33 or 34, and the guy is a physical freak. So Frank Gore is definitely my player who won't die and who actually returns pretty good value because you can get him super late because everyone else is scared of him too.
Now, I got to say, I've done some research, historical research, and there's been a couple of elite level running backs that have made it late in careers. Like Adrian Peterson's going to be another one of those guys who's going to make it into this 34th, 35th season. Not season, but age. I think 34 is the age at which you really see a steep decline from these elite guys. And my examples were like Curtis Martin, Tiki Barber. They were all pretty good at their old ages, but then they just fell off a cliff, literally, off of the Dornish Mountains after they turned 34 years old. So I expect that from Frank Gore this year. But if he doesn't do that, I actually, for some weird reason, wouldn't be surprised because it's Frank MF Gore.
Yeah, I could be with you there. I mean, Frank Gore could play until he's like 43, 44.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. I mean,
it's like on, what is it? Talladega Nights, when he's sitting there and they're like, Ricky, you're reckless. You can't, you know, I could live until I'm, you know, 150, 200. I mean, they just put a pig heart in somebody the other day and they're like, wow, they did? Yeah. Well, the guy died. But I mean, the fact that they're trying to do that means it could happen.
Are you saying that Frank Gore has a pig heart?
I'm saying he maybe has like a cheetah heart.
There
but
you
he
go.
Doesn't run as fast, but it pumps pretty fast. You know?
Yeah, there's let's analogy. Go with it. We'll go, we'll
You're
go.
Welcome, everybody. You know what, John? We talked about how I was derailing your podcast. I think you're doing the same thing here. Or I'm just doing it myself, like we talked about.
Cheetah. It's a self-derailing.
Yep.
Well, hold on, Doug. Let's pause. Nice. Hold on. You cut out big time there for a second. Okay. Restart after me talking about derailing.
Okay. All right. So we are going to get back on the rails and go to our Jaime and Cersei Lannister player, which is the player you have a weird relationship with.
It's going to get real weird here.
it's going to get some strange. So I actually want to hear John Paul Hurley's first, because it might be the weirdest one. I just have a hunch.
It's super weird. In fact, before I say the player's name, I will let you know that I'm in a league that Ryan McDowell invented called Kitchen Sink. It's the fifth one, so it's Kitchen Cinco. Kind of a play on words there. And my team yes. name is actually, coincidentally, the Many-Faced Gods.
Nice.
And I've got a picture of the Temple of Black and White, or whatever that temple's called, over the seas, over the narrow sea. And it's like, you know the spot where Arya goes into... along with Jaqen H'ghar, and it's got all the faces in there of people that they're, you know, basically used to put their faces on.
Yep.
It's basically like a snippet of that. It's got six faces on it, and every one of the faces on my logo in this league are the same player's face. So the Many-Faced God, the guy that I have a weird relationship with, is Jordan Howard. I'm in love with this guy. Like, he is elite. I think, like, he's shattered some rookie records for running backs. It was very unexpected for him to do that. That's why I love the underdog story, and I feel like he's going to return that again. He was playing this way with guys like Matt Barkley at quarterback. Are you kidding me? Like, this guy with
like Matt Barkley.
Exactly. This guy is going to blow up with Mike the Neck Glennon, or, you know, Trubisky. Whoever's under center doesn't really matter for him. He's going to get his yards. He's going to get his love. I have a really weird relationship with him. I dream about him at night. So I'm going to stop right there.
It's getting real weird here.
Yeah, before we go to Tyler.
I'm the Stark that's climbing the tower and then seeing the window with Jordan Howard right now. Just like, oh.
And I'll push you out. We'll throw him out the window.
There you go.
I'm gonna cover mine before we get to Tyler. And mine is David Njoku. And it's the only really weird relationship I have with him is that I have him in every single Dynasty League that I'm in.
Wow, everyone?
Yeah, so I actually Impressive. Overpaid for him a little bit. In Capitalist Pigs 2, I overpaid because I had to get him. He was one of the last big players in the rookie auction left, so I overpaid to get him because I wanted him. I got him at the 1-9 in the UDPL because it's a tight end premium, and then I just drafted him in my home league at the 1-12, and I felt really good every single time I've picked him. I'm just confident he's going to be a sure thing, and I just can't be shaken from that. So that's it's not really a weird relationship, but he's the most owned player I have in Dynasty. So yeah, maybe it's because I love him in a strange way. David Dothraki Njoku.
Who's going to be throwing on the ball? I'm just concerned about that.
Kaiser
Sose.
Yeah,
Kaiser for sure. Now,
no limp.
Mine, I would go into a chapel and just, you know.
Oh boy.
And we talked about it on the Dynasty Trade Calculator, and most owned players, and mine is CJ Procise, and. We had a
no shocker
huge,
there.
We had a huge rant on the podcast, and I got kind of, you know, oh, you only have him at 17. Wow, you know, there's Eric Harder has him at 17 as well, and so on. So you know what? I'm not gonna have somebody ranking him higher or as high as me. So what I did on air, I switched Tevin Coleman and him. So Procise is my 15th ranked running back for Dynasty, and I just see a running back one in this guy. I have no, like, this is why. But my main argument would have to be it's his third year as a running back. He is still learning the position. He's got patience. He showed that.
He's a doctor?
He's lots of patience.
Get out. No, he showed he had the patience behind the line. And he also catches the ball very well. And I know it. Nick Williams is going to give me crap for this. I know it's a crazy stat, but he only needed 6 touches last year to have 12 plus points. If he had 6 plus touches, he got 12 plus points last year. I know it's kind of an anomaly and it may just make no sense. Yeah. But that shows that he is explosive. He has big plays. He can catch the ball. He had 4 for 80 in a game. Yeah. He had 17 for, 68, but he also had like 5 catches. So he gets points and he gets them through PPR. So if you're in PPR scoring, this guy could be a high-end running back 2, low-end running back 1 by the end of the year. Yes, he needs Eddie Lacy to kind of get fatter or be fat or whatever he is now. Thomas Rawls, I'm not scared of. So I do think that this could be Procise's backfield to lose.
I don't know. I think Cold Hands and Game of Thrones had more appearances on the show than CJ Procise in the backfield for Seattle. I think that's probably accurate.
Yeah, he was the guy that was helping them in the Stark, the seer there in the woods.
It's the uncle.
He showed up at the end.
Yeah, Benjamin. Like,
they didn't turn me completely.
Yep.
That's why he's never touched a woman.
Oh man.
Hello, sweetie.
He's going to help fight them White Walkers, I think. Which will be fun.
AKA the Patriots,
at least he won't get... Oh, Jesus. Here we go. All right.
The what?
Moving on. We're going to transition because we don't talk Patriots anymore. Okay. We're going to talk about our grayscale player. So if you remember grayscale from a few seasons ago, yeah, if you get that stuff, it's going to get you burnt at the stake, more or less. So these are players you wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. And I'm going to lead this one off because I think this is a little... warm takey, if you will. And mine is Allen Robinson.
Yes.
So I'm not touching Allen Robinson this year. Maybe I'll come back on the train eventually, but I have a feeling that we've obviously seen his best season. I just have this Braylon Edwards, Dwayne Bowe feel around Allen Robinson. Like one really big, 14 to 17 touchdown season. Everyone fell in love with him. And then he never replicated that season again.
As a 22-year-old, though, Bo and Braylon Edwards were older. So
that's fine. So it's also because Tom Coughlin's there. They drafted Leonard Fournette. They put a fullback in place. I think they're going to nerf Blake Bortles because he's horribly inefficient. So I think that they're going to run the ball the majority of the time. And Allen Robinson, against top-flight corners, not very good. So there's a lot of things that kind of lead into me not liking Allen Robinson. And I'm just not going to own him in any league, especially at his price. I mean, he's still going in dynasty startups, right at the end of the first round or early second. That's way too rich for me.
Just playing devil's advocate, wouldn't you think that the addition of Leonard Fournette and like the O-line would help Blake Bortles and Allen Robinson? At least efficiency.
I mean, it's still Blake Bortles throwing the ball. He's not going to see as much volume either, and I think that's one of the big things that Robinson was a high-volume receiver. I mean, you got Marquise Lee, who's kind of breaking out into his own. Alan Hearns is going to be back healthy. I don't know. I'm just not feeling the love for Allen Robinson. Everything kind of is moving towards me just fading him.
Fair enough.
I'm a huge Allen Robinson guy. I do see a little bit of overhype, I will admit. But I'm with Hurley. I think Blake Bortles will be better. I do think that offense will be more efficient. I think what's going to hurt him is the, kind of distributing targets in other places. He had a lot of targets his breakout year. And I think with Marquise Lee, if he stays healthy, and Allen Hearns, if he stays healthy, and let's not forget D.D. Westbrook, he could be playing, the slot. He's a fourth receiver. Even if there's an injury, D.D. could get some playing time. He's a very explosive athlete. But if all of them stay healthy, there's more mouths to feed, which gives, Bortles more of a clearer option to pass to. Allen Robinson's going to be the focal point of defenses other than Fournette. And when that happens, these other guys are going to be, a greater percentage pass target for Bortles. So I could see Robinson be more efficient than he was the past couple of years, but I don't see the numbers that he had. And Doug, it pains me to agree. You could be right. On the, that could be his outlier, the 2015. And I love Robinson. And
here's what my one statistic for you guys, though, and I'd be really curious to hear both you, Doug, and Tyler weigh in on this. So looking at the statistics, Allen Robinson against man defenses was brutally inefficient in both 2015 when he broke out and 2016 combined. And it's pretty easy for defenses to, you know, spare a man on your top guy if you've got guys like Chris Ivory in the backfield. There's not really a huge running threat. So my question for you guys is, don't you think that, oh, and by the way, just the flip side of it, he was incredibly efficient against zone defenses. So the rare opportunities that he had to play against zone defenses, he caught a lot of balls. There wasn't a lot of drops. Like he just caught the ball when it was thrown to him. Blake seemed more natural against zone. It seems like when defenses have to respect the running game, they probably fall back in zone more frequently to try to cover the box. Don't you guys think that Leonard Fournette, offensive line changes, could make a difference in the dynamic of defenses and what they're matching up against? And you can see that efficiency coming around a little bit.
I'll give you that. I just don't think he's going to pay off his ADP still, even if he does better in the man coverage. Part of it to me, too, is with the Jaguars, and I hate to say like game script wise, but I think the Jacksonville Jaguars aren't going to be trailing in as many games as they have been in the last couple of years, because they've been, I mean, let's face it, in 2015, it was garbage time all-star. Blake Bortles and Allen Robinson.
I love it, though. I love that. That's fantasy.
Oh, I love having those players on my team. Don't get me, like DeAndre Hopkins that same year. Oh, yeah, I want them to be trailing and throwing. You know, Phillip Rivers last year, like just get him behind and have them keep throwing the football. But I think Jacksonville, you know, again, their biggest thing is their defense on paper is going to be improved. And I actually honestly believe that this year. So to me, they're going to be leading more in these games, and that's going to dictate to them leaning more towards a run heavy offense. So Robinson, I don't think is not going to get the volume regardless of any of these outcomes to really pay off his wide receiver one price tag.
Yeah, I completely agree with Doug. I think his price tag right now is a little pricey, but I do think he could be a high end wide receiver two, low end wide receiver one. Still, I think there'll be enough targets for him to get that. And I think Robinson versus man coverage, his issue was, you know, going back to the combine, he ran a 4.6. He wasn't fast. They don't use DeAndre Hopkins on that many deep routes.
No.
And I think Allen Robinson, they tried to do that too much. And when they're on man, the corner could keep up with him. When you're on zone, he could, you know, use his strength and his jumping ability. I mean, he jumped through the roof in his combine. He was like 40 plus inches. So this guy, you know, he could go get his touchdowns back up to 12. He could be a red zone target. They don't have a tight end for that. So, I mean, if you believe in Ben Koyak or Michael Rivera, but who does?
Well, so, Tyler, by the way, DeAndre wasn't used on deep balls because Brock Osweiler has a challenge of throwing the ball more than 20 yards in the air. So that's a problem. But last thing I want to ask Tyler this one too, really quick. Then I'll leave you guys alone. I apologize for the derail once again. Allen Robinson.
Hey, I did it to you. I did it to you.
Allen Robinson's ADP is 12. He's being drafted as a wide receiver 9. Who would you guys take ahead of him exactly? So if you don't like the price tag, the guys that follow him are T.Y. Hilton, Corey Davis, Sammy Watkins. Do you guys take all three of those guys ahead of Allen Robinson then?
Yes.
I would say Corey Davis and Sammy Watkins are the closest.
You love Sammy.
I love T.Y. Hilton. That's solid pick.
I think Corey Davis isn't worth Robinson right now. That's like trading Robinson for 101. I think you get more for it. Corey Davis isn't bad. I like Robinson better. You know, sorry, Nick Whalen again. But coming from Sammy, I mentioned on your podcast, Sammy is the most talented receiver in 2014 draft class. And I think that it's an argument to be had. But I think talent-wise, I think he is the best. I think he's all around amazing. I think Allen Robinson has the role, you know, cemented. I think Sammy has a lot more questions than Robinson, even though Robinson had an off year. I have him close, but I'd still go with Robinson just based off I've seen it. I think Robinson can stay healthy. I think Robinson has a wide receiver one every season upside. And who knows what they're going to do, you know, at the end of his contract. If he doesn't show up this year or next, I mean, who's to say they don't re-sign him?
Yep.
They could become a peer running team and just let him go.
So the grayscale has slowly gone through our bodies as we talked over Allen Robinson.
Not
so,
me.
John Paul Hurley, who is your grayscale player you won't touch?
My grayscale player that I will not touch with any poll, regardless of its length, is Rob Gronkowski. And I think this, you guys got to agree with me on this one. I was actually hoping and praying to the to the old gods and the new that you weren't going to take my player, Doug, with your choice, because this is the only one I prepared for this, and it's the only one that makes the most sense. Rob Gronkowski has had grayscale surgery on his back twice now.
Yes, he has.
You just don't
really prepare for this, haven't you?
Exactly. This one I didn't actually. I just wrote Rob's name, but like the back is really concerning. Like the additional weapons, adding Brandon Cooks in New England's a little bit concerning too. It might command some additional targets there. The aging Tom Brady is a little bit concerned, even though he probably should have been the hound player for us, because he's getting old, man. He's never going to go away.
He's going to be 40 in a few weeks.
That's unreal. Hopefully he doesn't hit the Peyton Manning wall, but I think Tom's a little bit more fit. His diet's a little bit more in alignment. Just eats like fish all day long, and that's it. But yeah,
no cheese. Rob, I know that.
Rob Gronkowski really concerned with this guy. I don't like his lifestyle, his attitude, and now I don't like the situation that it's becoming and his health. Like, there's so many reasons. Oh my God.
Let's be honest. You love his lifestyle. You love his lifestyle. You just jealous.
I love it, but I hate it as a fantasy football owner.
Yeah, that's true.
Has he ever been arrested?
He has not, because he's white.
He's
nice. Oh boy.
Wow.
Oh boy. Here we go.
It is not right.
That's the thing. I feel like Gronk could literally drink a case with Goodell and drive off.
That's what I'm saying, man.
And Goodell would be like, that guy is my best friend.
He's doing what Michael Floyd is doing in front of a camera, and Michael Floyd gets in trouble, but Gronk, everybody just laughs about and cheers him on and throws him more beer.
I mean,
well, it's because he's going to get pulled over while he's drunk driving.
No, he's got a bus for that, a party bus with like.
Yeah, 13, so he's smart.
With 13 hookers.
He's super smart. Yep.
They're not hookers, they're smart. Tyler.
Oh, as long as he pays them, it's legal, right? I don't know how the business works.
He's probably contracted grayscale a few times with his lifestyle.
Plenty of penicillin clears that shit right up, though.
They didn't just sure go does. In for the back surgery.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
All right, Tyler, who's your grayscale player that you won't touch with a 10-foot pole?
We're all going big time people, so I feel like I have to. DeAndre Hopkins is mine. And I feel like he is literally just a guy who gets targets. If he doesn't get targets, he is literally just a guy.
So disrespectful.
You guys talk smack about Allen Robinson, so you open wide. I got a spoonful of crap coming your way.
I didn't talk crap about A-Rob.
Not you, Mr. D.E.
That's for me specifically.
No, DeAndre Hopkins.
Who would you rather have? You'd rather have Robinson over Hopkins?
Easy.
I take it.
Easy. I think all right, Robinson.
Make your case.
Okay. Younger. I think.
Whoop-de-doo.
I think Robinson has more talent. I think Robinson is far superior of an athlete. I think Allen Robinson has prettier eyes.
And his name's Allen. I like guys named Allen, like Allen Thick, Ray Allen.
No, I think Allen Robinson, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, his season he broke out, the targets he got were just crazy. There's no way he's going to repeat that. Can we all agree? There's no way. Now, Allen Robinson also.
Oh, he's not going to see 200 targets again.
Allen Robinson had a breakout too, but Allen Robinson actually had 80 catches for 1,400 yards. DeAndre Hopkins had 111 catches for like, what was it, 15? Am I close?
Nobody's fact checking you, so that's the brilliance of this.
In front of me.
But I mean, he had 11 touchdowns. Robinson had 14. You literally can pick and nitpick at both of them. Let's be honest. They disappoint us last year. What train are you on? I'm on Allen Robinson. I think Allen Robinson's tape shows me more. I honestly wish Deshaun Watson was on the Jags, because I think Deshaun Watson is a good quarterback. I think he's better than Bortles personally. But I see more with Robinson. Coming from a person
You're wrong.
Hodor.
Hodor.
Hodor. All right.
That's what I should just say from now on, because you two are going to disagree with me. Hodor. Hodor. Like, the best part with Hodor has to be when he looks over and he's like, right? And he goes, Hodor. And he just shakes his head. He's like, Hodor.
Hodor. Oh, Jesus.
Give me Allen Robinson. I think to wrap it up, Allen Robinson, I think, is at 6 for me, and Hopkins is at 8. So we're literally grasping for straws here, trying to nitpick. Yes.
Splitting those hairs, if you will.
Yes.
All right, so let's move on to our White Walker player, and that's the player that's value is so cold that it's absolutely dead. Ooh. So John Paul Hurley, who is cold and dead to you from a dynasty value standpoint?
Okay, so I did this a little differently. So his value is currently cold, but he's not dead to me. But his value is very cold. And it's Doug Martin, who, by the way, is my sleeper pick of the year.
Ugh.
His current ADP is 106, which, by the way, is the same amount of swords that you see in the Game of Thrones chair in King's Landing in the Red Keep that they sit on for the show.
Very nice.
In the book, it's thousands of swords.
The Iron Throne.
Exactly. The Iron Throne, 106 swords. Doug Barnes' ADP, 106. Ridiculous. Very
mine's,
cold.
Mine's
very
porcelain. Cold. My Iron Throne. It's porcelain.
Some people get the Game of Thrones replica.
That's why it's called the Porcelain Throne?
There you go. Some people get the Game of Thrones replica throne to put on their toilet. It's amazing. I'm considering getting one. We should probably get a free one for just doing this episode from Game of Thrones.
I literally have my wife be like, hey, come in here. Take a picture of me and then do that like crouch over. Like I'm thinking.
Just don't get shot with a bow and arrow in the chest.
Yeah. By exactly. My daughter or some
a bolt take a bolt to the chest. Wasn't it one like in the stomach too or something? Like yeah, it was like a shoulder in the stomach. Ah, nasty.
That's a terrible way to go.
Yeah,
it's awful.
Getting shot by an arrow. Yeah,
by your son.
Getting shot by an arrow, let's be honest, like that's a lot of pain.
Yeah, that
while you're taking a shit though, I mean, come on, you're like totally defenseless.
Least there's no cleanup.
Impressive.
Oh, there we go. Impressive. I like it.
Wow.
Oh man.
This show, so, I tell you.
So I'll go over briefly my cold player because it's on one of my rosters. I still have him, and his value is definitely cold, and I believe he is dead. And that is Clive Walford. I was big into Walford going into last year. I acquired, and then they go out and sign Jared Cook, and Clive Walford is now dead. Leave it at that. So Tyler, who is your White Walker? Yeah, let's hear it.
Tavon Austin. He is a guy that is pretty much dead, but he's got a little bit of a pulse because of McVay. McVay comes in. We have no idea how they're going to use him. Is it going to be a smaller DeSean Jackson? He's still fast. He's still very shifty. And Jeff Fisher just brought him down the average. So there could be
Queen might be able to reanimate him, is what you're saying?
Yes, that could happen. And there is a chance that Tavon can kind of come back to what he was a couple years ago. We talk about a couple years ago all the time, don't we?
We had 8 touchdowns, didn't he?
9 or so, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, once again, grasping for straws. No, but Tavon, he could be one of those waiver wire guys in redraft and in dynasty if he's on waivers. That could really, you know, be a good person if you're in, you know, a pinch to start somebody. There could be an opportunity. I think we can all admit that.
Man, his price is dirt cheap right now. So
why literally not, right? Nothing.
Dirt, like 6 feet under dirt cheap.
Like cold as ice.
I just had a Vanilla Ice flashback. Oh, man. All right.
Oh, boy.
So let's go with the opposite. And Tyler, we're going to stay with you. It's the wildfire player. I don't know. Ooh, it's a tongue twister, apparently. So someone whose value is absolutely out of control right now.
Man, this one is very tough for me. And I'm going to have to go with a player that I actually truly like. And it's Alvin Kamara. His value is crazy right now. Like people are just, well, is that what you mean by it? Like,
yeah, it's like his value has just been pumped up where it's beyond the point of you feeling comfortable of getting that player at that price.
Alvin Kamara, and I mean, in rookie drafts, I think he's still okay to me. I would take him 8, 7, maybe. But I think in, you know, startups, his value is super high. I haven't checked lately, but it was in the single digits. And I mean, last year you could get players like ProSize in the 8th, 9th, or 10th. And I feel like he's even going earlier than that. And that's crazy to me. We don't know what he's actually going to be. What role is he going to be? And they have AP still. I think AP is in for a decent year. You know, I've kind of come around on him. I think Mark Ingram just slept with the coach's wife, and that's that. Ingram's in the doghouse. He had to have done something, and I think everybody's coming up with conspiracy theories, so why not start one, right?
So he pooped in Sean Payton's shoe.
That one is one that could actually have happened. So yeah, that's not as bold. Like, maybe he pulled a prank on him, like crapped on his front passenger seat in his car.
Filled his car with packing peanuts.
Yes, like, and maybe Sean Payton has an allergic reaction to packing peanuts, and you know, who knows? Who really knows? But they hate him there. So, but Ingram is still there. Like, he's not gone. Kamara,
yeah,
is going to get receiving, but how much? Like, that's everybody's question. So his value is pretty high right now.
Yeah, and I'll give you guys mine before we get to John Paul, and that's Isaiah Crowell. I think that's a pretty easy one. His ADP has been rocketing up the charts. The biggest thing with Crowell, I know they have an improved offensive line, and that's probably the one thing that everyone goes towards. But the statistic that I keep going back to is 50% of his yards were on 16 carries last year.
Ooh,
that freaks me out.
You don't?
I am
like
not
the crow?
Buying Crowell.
We're talking Game of Thrones. You don't like the crow?
I know. I'm not going with the crow. Yeah, send a raven. I'm not going with the raven. Yeah, send a raven. Get the crow out of here. I am not touching Isaiah Crowell at his ADP is just beyond the hype. The hype train is there's no stopping it, and I'm not jumping on it at all. What do you guys think, Crowell?
I like Crowell, so I'm gonna have to disagree.
Not a fan.
I don't mind the player. The price is what gets me.
Yeah,
that's the big thing.
Probably, you know, Tim Torch. I love you, Tim. Tim is paying a
wildfire. Lot. Tim Torch.
Tim Torch is literally wow. Okay, this pod's done. We are, bro. No, I like Crowell though, but Tim is a little crazy on him. But I would have to say I'm mild crazy on him. I've tried to get him at everywhere. You can probably get him for an early second still, or a couple 18 seconds.
No, he's gonna be a first. He's gonna go for a first. I bet.
Yeah. True.
The hype train is just chugging right along. No thanks. So, John Paul Hurley, who is your wildfire player? Value out of control.
Michael Thomas. ADP is 109. Like, you're putting your first round draft pick into this guy. When he was like in the high teens, I was like kind of okay with it. He had a big rookie season. He's got Drew Brees. He's got a lot of good reasons to take him at that spot, but 109? You got to be kidding me. So the guy has an 1,100, what do you have? 1,100 yards, 9 touchdowns, which, by the way, is very close to a Drew Brees wide receiver ceiling. I think the best receiving season a wide receiver under Drew Brees has ever had was Marcus Colson in 2007. 1,200 yards, 11 touchdowns. Pretty good. Probably not somebody I'm going to want to, you know, max out at a 109 spot, though. Like, I want to take somebody with a higher ceiling than that. There's just too many chinks in his armor, Game of Thrones armor, that I do not want to. It might be one of the guys I wouldn't touch just because that's just that's out of control, man. That's way too high. Wildfire is burning out of control in the Blackwater, right? Isn't it the Blackwater outside of King's Landing where the battle took place?
Yeah,
absolutely.
And all I see with Michael Thomas is the combine, him tripping over himself, falling, embarrassing himself. Every time people are like, yeah, Michael Thomas, right? Now all I see is just trip. Gets back up, runs. So it's like, I can't get that out of my head, and I just can't trust in Michael Thomas.
Yeah, if you're drafting him inside the top 10 of a startup, you need that upside to be part of your equation. And I, like John Paul said, I just don't see it in a Saints offense where, you know, this might be his upside is what we saw last year. And that scares me. So
you're exactly right. Get that. That's a great point. Like, you're already drafting him as if he is that guy, and he's not yet. You're projecting him to be. He had a good rookie season. He's not a 109 yet, so don't take him there. You got AJ Green right there.
Oh, I'd take AJ Green 100% of the time.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Completely.
So, all right, here's a good one.
Let's do some rapid fire. All
right, this is the Tyrion Lannister. This is the player that will come up small in 2017. Wink, wink, nod, nod. I'm just going to go real quick. I talked about it last week, and mine is Mike Evans. I think he has a solid year, but he's not going to pay off his current ADP. Too many balls to go around. I just don't see Evans being, again, target volume is a concern, and yards after the catch, they are non-existent. So I am, I think Mike Evans is going to come up small for everyone this year. What do you think, Tyler? Who do you got?
JP isn't going to like this, and mine is Brandon Cooks. I just think there's too many mouths to feed.
Curses.
I think there's too many mouths to feed, as much as we're all kind of selling Gronk. I think there is, you know, with Gronk back, a lot of targets are going to go back to Gronk. I think James White will actually have his best year. I think he's going to get a lot of passes. I think Belichick finally believes and trusts in White, and he's going to get a lot more targets than we think. I think Brandon Cooks is going to have his weeks. I think he's going to have very, very good weeks. Like, we're talking
DFS.
Yes. And best ball on play draft. Yeah. He's a fantastic pick there. Mm. But yeah, I think he's more of a Deshaun Jackson type player this year.
We will not share meat and mead together.
Come to my wedding.
Did you know that Brandon Cooks is younger than Michael Thomas?
Yes, I did.
Ah, it's so funny.
You know how I know that? You told me.
Yeah.
All right. Who's your come up small player? John Paul
DeAndre Hurley. Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins, for the same reason that we said earlier. I do not agree with Tyler about Deshaun Watson that he's going to be good, because he's got the weakest arm of any NFL starting quarterback if he starts. And that's a big if. If he doesn't start, it's not much better. So DeAndre Hopkins, I'm sorry, bro. I love the talent, probably the most talented wide receiver in the NFL, one of the top three maybe, just doesn't have a good situation. I don't see it ending anytime soon.
Man, I just traded for DeAndre Hopkins. That's funny, yeah, I believe. Yeah. So it's all good. All right, we've got two more, so let's try to wrap these up pretty quickly. We've got the Iron Throne player, and that's the under-the-radar player that will lead you to a dynasty championship. Tyler, who you got?
I'm going back to the well, CJ ProSize. I think he's going to come
up. That's so easy.
He is going to be a very reliable PPR running back. And I honestly believe that. I think ProSize is going to be locked and loaded RB2 on your team, because obviously if you have him, you've already got a pretty good running back on your team. Hopefully you're not depending on him as your running back one. I hope to God that that's not true. Otherwise, your army and fleet are going to die chasing after Ramsey Bolden, because he's actually quite an insane genius when it comes to battling. But
so can we talk for a quick second around insane geniuses? So how about Rickon Stark? He's like pretty much just running a 9 route the whole time. And if he did like a post corner, he probably wouldn't have got caught by that arrow. Can we all agree on that?
Yeah, absolutely. He's only good for smashing peanuts in season one like an idiot.
That was the worst strategy ever. Yeah. Run in a straight line so he can just, you know, he can feel me out. Like, do a everybody post corner, maybe a hitch or a curl.
Yeah, bob and weave a little bit. I mean,
something.
Yeah, he's a complete idiot.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I think everybody saw that coming when he's running straight. Everybody in their mind is like, turn a little bit. Just move.
Seriously.
Yeah, it was bad. So, JP, who is your player that's under the radar that's going to win you a dynasty championship?
Okay, I will intentionally mispronounce his name. I'm going to go Daenerys Thomas.
Daenerys Targaryen. If you got it,
Daenerys. Oh, I like that one better. I think there's somebody on Twitter with that name, but look, just
I think so.
The only thing I need to say is look at his last five seasons: 90 catches, 1,100 yards last year for 5 touchdowns, 105 for 1,306, 111 for 1,611, 92 for 1,414. And then 94 for 1,410. Come on. Come on, man.
Can I give you guys... Okay, I like that pick. Can I give you a sneaky rookie that's being very underdrafted, except by Harmon, that I think is actually going to come out and do something? And that's Carlos Henderson. I think he's got that slot role. And I think, honestly, with Simeon and his like willingness and never go downfield, I think he could be in for like a 50-plus catch season.
I can see that. I think that's in the range of outcomes. I mean, I think Henderson is a lot like Jarvis Landry, but a little bit more physical and nasty. So like I can see that.
A Randall Cobb, maybe a little more explosive than Cobb was coming out. Or no, I'd say Cobb now. Cobb coming out was pretty explosive coming out of Kentucky. Yeah.
That's a player I've completely soured on, but that's another whole whole episode. So I actually have two in this space, and one of them is Ted Ginn Jr., because he's so dirt cheap and he's old and nobody wants him. But he is a perfect type of guy that you have on your roster that helps you win a championship. A lot like Brandon Cooks we talked about earlier with you know, the best ball at DFS. Ted Ginn is going to win you some weeks, let's be honest. So having him on your roster is not going to cost you much.
I love that pick.
And the other player I think that will lead you to a championship that's under the radar is Austin Hooper. So not too many people are talking about the loss of Jacob Tammy. Hooper caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl. And I think that his... his percentage of snaps is going to only increase. And I think that Matt Ryan is going to, he's going to be one of his favorite targets outside of Julio Jones. And let's face it, Julio can't stay on the field for a full season. So someone's going to have to pick up the slack, and it's not Mohamed Sanu. And I don't think it's Taylor Gabriel. And I think it's actually going to be Austin Hooper in combination with the running backs with no Shanahan, that offense. I think Hooper ascends into a top 10 tight end this season.
It's funny you mentioned that because he's my second most owned player. And nice. On the Dynasty Trade Calculator, I actually mentioned that I think Gabriel is actually going to be a good wide receiver 3 on teams and is actually going to do well. I think Sanu's value will actually drop. I think Sanu's production will drop. And I think that goes to Hooper. And I think Matt Ryan is getting more trust with Hooper. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, that system involves the tight end more and loves to get the tight end involved. And it showed during the Super Bowl. I mean, Hooper had a fantastic catch, and people forget about that because of Edelman's catch and Julio Jones' catch. But Hooper's touchdown catch was quite the grab himself. So, I mean, I don't see why people forget, like you said, about Tammy leaving. And that's a lot of targets leaving. So I can see Hooper having a...
And there's no one else there to compete with him for targets.
I mean, they got Eric Saubert, but he is a definite 3 year away type
out of Drake. Yes.
And going to your point, talking about the whole entire Tammy thing, I was actually on the Aussie guys doing the Atlanta preview, and I oozed about Hooper. So I'm with you here, nice. Doug.
Yeah. I would much rather have Austin Hooper at his ADP over someone like Hunter Henry, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
So we're going to move on to our last one before we wrap up the show. And that is the Jon Snow player. That is the player who has all the talent and will rise to the top of the dynasty ranks. So, who should we go first? JP, you want to kick us off? Who do you think is going to be that guy that next year we're going to be drafting at the in the top 15 or 20 picks?
Let's go top 8.
There
somebody
you go,
who Allen Robinson's. Because let's be honest, Jon Snow is the true... Okay, spoiler alert. Jon Snow is the true king. He is rising to the top. So we need to talk about people that can go to the top. Like I said, Allen Robinson, DeAndre Hopkins went up significantly. Mm-hmm. Somebody that is outside the top 8 or so, you know, it doesn't matter with rankings, but somebody who's had like a wide receiver 2 that is going to be a high-end wide receiver 1.
Okay, that's fair.
So maybe I know nothing, but my answer is easily Brandon Cooks, just to spite you, Tyler, for bringing him up with a guy you're not touching, or was it grayscale or not, whatever the theme was, he chose Brandon Cooks. So I'm gonna go right back and choose Brandon Cooks as my guy that I am think is going to rise to fame next season. And the reason why, just really quickly, my one quick take, is it all depends on whether or not you think Brandon Cooks will become Tom Brady's number one option as offense. Tom Brady targets his wide receiver 1, even with Gronk splits, 30% of the time, which is a 10% lift over what Drew Brees does. Drew Brees spreads the ball. Tom Brady focuses on his tight end and wide receiver 1. I think Brandon Cooks overtakes Julian Edelman as the first option. He has a phenomenal year. He'll be drafted in the top 8 to 10 in fantasy dynasty startups next season.
Interesting. I don't know if Edelman's going to, I don't know if he's going to let those reins go right away, but I could see it over time happening. So my player, and this is from way downtown, like half court, launching it up at the end of the game player that I think has all the talent and will rise to the top of the dynasty ranks, and that's Devonta Booker. So much like we saw with Melvin Gordon, yeah, that's right. I'm planting that flag deep into the soil of King's Landing as we invade. So Devonta Booker for me is... You know, when you look at his tape last year, it wasn't that great. And he had a rampant offensive line. The team wasn't that good. I don't think that they're sold on C.J. Anderson. Devonta Booker was a top 30 running back as far as receptions go. He had over 30 catches last year out of the backfield. I think he can be a true 3-down back. And a lot like, you know, Melvin Gordon, who had a disappointing rookie year, Booker actually flashed and had some really good games. If you had a Week 17 championship, and I know you're out there, all few and far between, Booker, if you started him, he won you a league because he had 120 yards and 2 touchdowns, and he went over 100 yards a few times last year. And I think that Booker is going to win that job. Jamal Charles, I have no concerns. I don't think he's going to make the team, to be quite honest. And C.J. Anderson, I've never been impressed with. So, and he can never stay healthy. So for me, I think Devonta Booker is going to have the opportunity, and he's going to pay off, and he's going to be a top 10 pick next year.
That's ballsy.
It's bold.
Okay.
Theme music for Tyler's last pick.
My last pick. I'm seriously having a hard time between two, and I'm going to have to go Derrick Henry.
Woo-wee.
And my reasoning, all last year, Tim and Chris and myself talked about the gaslights turning on with DeMarco Murray. It showed he had some lower body injuries, but it just showed. You saw it. He wasn't as explosive. That line helped him out a lot. If Derrick Henry got 20-plus carries a game, good night. This guy is going to be a running back one, no problem. And I think with doing so, he's going to be in kind of that Melvin Gordon territory. My other choice was Sammy Watkins, of course. And then my other clear-cut option was going to be Amari Cooper as the 101 next year.
I love Coop.
I think Coop, the way he's been playing, the way he's been training and working with Calvin Johnson, the GOAT, I think Cooper could honestly be the 101 at this point next year.
Hashtag anything for Amari.
Yep.
There you go. That's Amari. Oh, yes. We'll close it out with a nice pun. So that has been our Game of Thrones game. I gotta think of a better name for that next time. So that's been Game of Thrones with Tyler, myself, and JP. So that's going to wrap us up for tonight. We want to thank John Paul Hurley for coming on. And where can we find your lovely work?
You can check out my Twitter handle at DTC underscore John H. And you can check out our website, DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you again for coming on. And we just want to remind you, don't forget to check out the website at DynastyHappyHour.com. We've got a bunch of cool stuff going on over there right now. We've got new redraft rankings from Keaton Denley, Dynasty Frank, and Tim Torch, who make up the newest podcast on the network, which is the Dynasty Tilt, right?
Yep.
And then we've got updated Dynasty rankings. We got tons of new team previews. We've got all the podcasts in the network. There's shirts, and there's going to be Fantasy Tilt shirts pretty soon, so keep an eye out for those. Follow all of us on Twitter. You can find me at DaFantasyFather. That's D-A Fantasy Father. You can find Tyler Gunther at D-H-H Gunth, and obviously JP. You can find him where he just told you. And Kelly Appleby, he's got lost in the shuffle. Sorry, Kelly.
At Dynasty Kelly App, I think.
Yes, you are correct. So hopefully Kelly will be back with us next week. We can give him a show with that he'll be more familiar with.
Yes.
So Tim, and then make
Tim Keller will be on. Tim Keller will be on next week. So he will be back. He's got a little announcement. So
yeah.
I will be going on vacation. Cool. I will be going up north.
North. Up north. 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 Are you going to go to the wall?
Yeah. Don't go beyond the wall.
Yeah.
Don't go beyond the wall. Oh,
it's I heard it's beautiful.
Are you going to go up there to say the words?
So, and then make sure to follow the podcast on Twitter at the Dynasty HH Pod and follow the Fantasy Tilt on Twitter at DHH Fantasy Tilt. And if you guys boys don't have anything else, I think it's going to wrap us up. What do you think?
Yeah. Hodor.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on, John. It was fun, you know, doing this marathon of podcasting with you for 3 hours.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Wow.
That's pretty amazing.
So, yeah. Once again, check out Dynasty Trade Calculator this week. I'm on it, and I completely destroy the show. I want to apologize for John Mosier for the editing for that podcast because it is going to be terrible for you. But I had a great time there. Hopefully, you had a good time here, John. And
yep, it's going to be a red
next
wedding.
Time,
red wedding editing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this week, people are just getting spoiled. So until next time, everybody, draft, trade, win, and repeat.
That's all the time we got today for another Dynasty Happy Hour. Be sure and follow the guys on Twitter at DHH Gunth, at Dynasty Kelly App, at Tim Dynasty FF, and most importantly, at Dynasty HH Pod. The music for this podcast was brought to you by The Morning Kings. Be sure and check them out at themorningkings.com. Catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour. This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.